Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's a Reaction Monday, powered by Superbook Sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
Things to be upset about with this game yesterday. We'll get to Teddy Bridgewater. We'll get to Melvin Gordon. How about the hubris, arrogance? Fill in the blank. Go ahead. Roll out all the synonyms you want.
What is synonym? Love that on like cinnamon.
Toast?
Yeah, cinnamon.
Oh, yeah, cinnamon toast. Really, what is cinnamon good on, though?
Toast. You put it on oatmeal. I'm not an oatmeal cinnamon
Maybe
cat.
Dust it over like an apple pie when you're getting ready to bake it.
Yeah,
cinnamon.
Yeah, cinnamon.
You know?
I guess cinnamon.
With pies, I would think.
Probably has some, like, Christmassy latte drink where you
Sure.
Now I can't say cinnamon.
Yeah.
Cinnamon.
Anyway, I'm not going to go down this road. So credit to Mark Kisler, the Denver Post, got a chance to talk to Vic Fangio after the Dallas game last week. And my, oh my, one thing that's clear about Vic, he has no problem blaming others when things don't go well, and sure doesn't have a problem patting himself on the back when things go well. So some of his comments... After they lost to Cleveland, he acknowledged, oh yeah, for sure. He acknowledged that he was on the hot seat.
Okay.
He then decided, quote, we needed to get our ship straightened out. All three phases are ultimately my responsibility. Because of that, I took a deep dive into the other two phases. I'm obviously still heavily involved in the defense. I still call it, still run it. But I wouldn't have taken a deep dive into the offense if I wasn't the head coach. So yeah, I did. Kind of taking credit for maybe what transpired the last couple of weeks.
I don't know if that's taking credit, but you.
I was involved. All of a sudden I was involved and look at what happened.
Well, you should.
That's what I hear.
Okay. Well, that's good. You know what I hear? What took you so long?
Okay.
I mean, you know, you're the head coach. Should you be deeply involved in every head coach I've ever been around that was worth his salt was deeply involved in all three phases of the game.
Okay, more quotes, though. More of the pat on the back quotes, okay?
Right.
Again, after the Dallas game. Quote, my mode of operation is to present facts, not cliches. I had facts to present to the staff and our players that needed to get fixed with some suggestions along the way how to do it.
Okay. Okay. This is serious, Vic. All right.
After the game against Dallas, he said, quote, I just felt we had the right stuff to give ourselves a chance. We just have to do it the right way, call it the right way, which I'm in charge of. So you know that's going to be taken care of. Then in talking about coming up with a game plan that shut down the Cowboys.
Okay.
In a way that nobody else has been able to do. He said, quote, teams just haven't played them the right way.
Wow.
Meaning we did.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, Atlanta did not get the template. Didn't look at the film then.
Yes, they did not. They did not see how to get that done.
So Kiz reacted or shared a story about how he sent Fangio a congratulatory text for showing Kellen Moore a thing or two in the victory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since Kellen Moore was the next big thing, right?
Right.
Was he being talked about around here as a potential replacement for Vic Fangio, right?
Mm-hmm.
To which Vic responded, You can cross the Dallas OC off your list.
Now, was that, was the, I'm assuming that whole article was based off of those text messages, so it was, that's not taking that, a private text message and printing it up.
No.
I'm assuming.
I'm assuming not.
Okay.
I would hope not, but, yeah. But, hey, yet more proof that things go well. Hey. I mean,
who's your guy?
So that look, to me, that makes what happened yesterday, in my mind, even worse, even more embarrassing, because he felt that he had made the changes after the Cleveland game that had changed this thing.
Then what happened in Philly? Did you go back to not paying attention to all three phases? Did you rest on your laurels? Did you just figure out that all things are good? Benny just sent us a, I got it.
Oh, you got it?
Yeah. From Andrew Mason off Twitter. Okay. The Broncos have 7 double-digit losses in the last 2 seasons. 13 games, 7 double-digit losses. They have never had that many double-digit losses in a 2-season span until now, not even in the dismal 60s. And they still have 4 home games left this season. 7 of 13 home games, Mike. Let me say that again. 7 of 13 home games in the last 2 seasons. There's still 4 home games left in this season. Double-digit losses.
Not only are they not competitive at home, they don't show any guts at home. How about this one? Again, from Andrew. Andrew, great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They are 1-20 when trailing at halftime under Vic Fangio. So in the 2.5 years,
wow,
1-20 when trailing at halftime. Vic, you're the evil defensive genius. Where are all these halftime adjustments? You say you're getting involved in all facets of the team now. You're taking credit for the Dallas win. 1-20. Why can't you rally the troops?
Death by inches.
And
1-20.
1-20. Look, I've been trying to tell everybody this for weeks now. I know you want immediate gratification. I know you want something. Somebody needs to pay. I know you want it now. Okay. You want it now. You're probably not going to get it out, but I promise you there is going to be a clean slate after this season is over.
Does it make more sense to do it now, though?
Okay, I'll play that game with you.
Okay.
And I actually think there is wisdom. There is actually a smart reason to start firing coaches right now, and it has nothing to do with what you think the answer is going to be. All right.
Oh, so now you're a mind reader. I can't wait.
I will tell you. Coming up next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, I get it that Broncos country, they want blood.
Yeah,
right?
They do.
They want somebody to pay.
I understand that, too. I mean, I totally get it.
They want heads to roll.
Yeah.
Okay? Get it.
I can see actually the value in doing that, but not for the reasons you think. What has been, up until this point, what has been my biggest concern about firing coaches?
You're going to get the new coach bump, and you'll even put yourself further out of the, you know, draft positioning.
Right.
So that's been your biggest kind of issue.
Right now, the Broncos have seven games left.
That's that old pesky 17 game schedule, Mike.
17 games. Just a hop, skip, and a jump over to 18, by the way, here very soon. But they're still in it. They're still only a game out. They're still only a game back in the loss column.
Mm-hmm.
They've got five division games left. Here's a way to perhaps get the best of both worlds. Give the fans what they want while still playing for the season. If you're worried about the new coach bump because you think the new coach bump is real, you make coaching changes now, get that new coach bump in time to come out of your bye week, play in the Chargers in Kansas City, play in five games against your division the rest of the way. Maybe you get that new coach bump that gets you into the playoff hunt and maybe still win this division. What do you think of that?
New coach bump doesn't last for five games. It lasts for one game. Maybe two.
How's that new coach bump going in Vegas?
Yeah, remember when the new coach bump came out here in Denver and thumped us? I don't know if that was so much new coach bump or just that you're playing the Broncos at home.
Well, then they followed up by smacking the team that just smacked us. They beat the Eagles the next week, 33-22. They got the bump, two games. And then they proceeded to lose to the Giants and Chiefs. Back to reality.
Yeah. That's like two songs right there, right? We got the bump. Gotta have that bump. And then it's back. Then what's the back to reality? Yeah, not the Eminem song. Back to reality. Whatever. Anyhow.
I know what song you're talking about.
You do?
I do know what song. I can't think of it either, but I know what song you're talking about.
Back to, like that?
Yes.
Back to reality.
Right. Help us, texters. Help us.
Yeah, we got to get our texters.
My own personal Google. What song is Mark really butchering as he tries to figure it out here on the fly?
Who cares?
Really butchering?
That's true.
I mean,
you conveyed just enough that I knew where you were going.
At least there was effort there, unlike the fumble return.
Good point.
That's like, if you're comparing really butchering, there's that, and then there's what I did.
True.
Mine is the equivalent of at least attempting a tackle.
You made a heroic effort compared to that of Teddy Bridgewater. Wow, he's not going to live that down, is he? That right there is his Bronco
moment.
Epitaph. Right?
Yeah.
That's his, because he's not going to be the quarterback next year.
By the way, what did they do on the broadcast with that?
They did after they came back. And
what did they say?
They acknowledged that that's not a good look. They were kind of like,
Who was on that broadcast?
It was Greg Gumbel.
And was it?
Who I think had a solid game.
And the safety, Adam Archuleta?
Yeah.
Who was?
Yeah. Arch.
Yeah.
Call him Arch.
You just call him Arch? Because I watched last night at 11 o'clock in the evening when I got home, but
Arch acknowledged that
Arch
wasn't
the kind of effort that you're looking for.
Right. In roast him, but they definitely called attention to it. And it's getting a lot of run this morning on ESPN as well.
Well, as it should, man. As it should. It's one thing. What do we used to say all the time? The eye in the sky don't lie. It's not lying. There's no way that you can explain that away. You just gotta take that one.
So, why should that, or why is it going to be the biggest takeaway from this game? It wasn't the reason they lost the game. I can come up with six or seven other reasons why they lost the game. So why does this one seem to be it for so many people?
I think it just captures the Broncos and the culture that has been established with the coaching staff that you have, with the players that you have. It really captures the last 5 years in a proud NFL city, proud NFL city, where this team, and hey, this is not my words, man. This ain't the don't come after me with the pitchforks and lands. You're irrelevant. That's hard to say, Mike. That play right there is basically encapsulates what you've done the last 5 years. That's your coup de grace. That is who you are. And that's sickening.
Broncos country. Teddy's lost Broncos country. It's pretty totally. Obvious. Pretty so, obvious. I mean, there are some who you get the occasional, and I've seen a couple texts. What do you want him to do? You want him to risk his health and perhaps separate his shoulder?
Yep. That's exactly what I want him to do.
I know.
I expect him to do.
I know. And the fact that it was a business decision is one texter said, hey, this guy's probably going to be a free agent after the year. He's got to think about his future. Okay. Business decision. He made a business decision. Mm-hmm. Not what was going to be the best for the Broncos. He made a business decision as to what was going to be best for him. But however you want to slice it, it's a guy that I don't think will ever be able to live this down. I don't, unless he just comes out on whatever day he talks and just a huge mea culpa. I apologize, Broncos country. I don't know what happened. God, I wish I could have it back.
Right.
It'll never happen again. It's not who I am. Please, he's got to just totally throw himself on the mercy of the court.
Right. By the way, two texts. Soul to soul. Back to life. Back to reality. That one.
Yeah.
Okay. That's soul
to soul. I knew you did sell it.
Yeah. Thank you, Clem. Texted me on that one. And then Raj, our program director. Teddy, that's Teddy's version of the Case Keenum missed throw to DT in the turkey hole.
Yes.
They should have beat Kansas City.
Four down territory. We go around the division, including the return of the boogeyman. Next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
All right, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I haven't.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is a real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
I'll call it a combination of us not executing and probably like coaching. Pretty much simple.
Yikes! Draymond Jones! Wow. In talking about the Broncos' struggles against the run, again cropping up, something we've seen multiple times this season, and Draymond Jones saying, yeah, it's a combination of poor execution and coaching. How is it that twice this season the Broncos have faced mobile quarterbacks in Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts? And in both cases, they chose to blitz those quarterbacks more than they have any other quarterback. What's the thinking behind that?
Well, look what happened on Thursday night. That's what Miami did. They blitzed them, but they maintained lane integrity when they blitzed them. And they shut Lamar Jackson down. They shut that offense down. Now, coming off an overtime victory that went almost the entirety of the 10 minutes, then having a short week and going on the road, those are all tough things. But I understand conceptually what you're trying to do, but you're not executing it. If you can't execute it at some point, you know. The other thing is, and I'd have to go back and look at the coach's tape, but how much were you run blitzing those situations, but still with doing it with two high safeties in the back end? Like where you're trying to do it and still keep a tent over your eligible, so to speak. So I'd have to go back, and I will. I'll go back and look at all that.
Because I know you got next week to prepare for New Orleans and Philly.
Yeah, Philly. So I'm going to watch. Again. Watched the game.
Yeah.
I watched the TV copy, the shorter version of the TV copy. But I'm going to watch the actual, the coaching.
Be curious to get your film observations. Next in four down territory.
Second down.
They fake a toss. Now Mahomes looking for the end zone. Pass caught. Touchdown. Kansas City. On an out pattern in the end zone to Byron Pringle.
I mean, it speaks volumes to this team and like how much heart and determination that we have.
It's
back.
Remember when they were last place all season long? And then all of a sudden, they went from last place all season long to first place. Just like that.
It was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, it's magic.
Being able to talk about Kansas City, they weren't even September darlings. Patrick Mahomes had been figured out. He was washed.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And then Mahomes goes 35 of 50 for 406 yards, 5 touchdowns. As the Chiefs whoop up on the Raiders. And what do you know? Despite playing really bad football all season long, the Chiefs are in first place.
Nothing can get you right faster than playing the Raiders. Unless, of course, you're the Broncos. Then you're going to get trucked at home. All right. You think people are looking at the schedule right now going, like other radio shows across the country going, well, I can't find a win other than that Broncos game that we play.
I guarantee you in Detroit this morning, they're saying, almost, almost. Got a tie. Almost. Let's see. Let's look at our schedule. Where is there another potential win to avoid a zero-win season? Why don't we go to Denver?
Yeah. In Denver.
Denver where they don't win anymore.
They don't win. Forget about not winning. They get blown out by double digits every time they play there.
We're not only going to go there and win. We're going to kick their butts.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Fourth and goal. Kirk, straight drop, looking left. Throws back to the end zone, and it's caught for a touchdown! Touchdown by the Minnesota Vikings, and they have taken the lead.
Well, Minnesota Radio, while the Raiders are going to Raider, it would appear that the Chargers are going to Charger.
Knock on wood!
Got a new coach, Brandon Staley. That new coach smell has apparently worn off because the Bolts have lost 3 out of their last 4.
They almost lost to Philly, too.
They did. The one game that they won 27-24. So the Chargers, after a very impressive 4-1 start, are now 5-4. And I guess if you want to find a silver lining in all this. Remember I said that you better hope that Justin Herbert has a sophomore slump season. Otherwise, we got 2 boogeymen in the division.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert's falling back to earth.
He's coming back to earth?
He's coming back to earth.
This is one of the things that always concerned me about firing the coach. And they had Shane Steichen was their OC. He had a real good feel. Pep Hamilton had a real good feel with that quarterback. And now all of a sudden, you get a new staff, second year, and you're saying, hey, let's change all these things we were doing. Let's, add nuance or whatever. That was a concern.
In these last four games, Herbert is has had three games, all three losses. He's completed passes in the 50s. In those three losses, he broke 200 yards once. And in these last four games, he's thrown, what is it, six touchdowns and four picks.
But here's the silver lining if you're a Charger fan, which seems like
reality.
Yeah, which seems like a
soul to soul,
like oxymoron to me. A Charger fan? Are there really any Charger fans?
Aren't there really any?
But here's the good news if you're a Charger fan. You've got the Broncos on your schedule twice and once at Empower Field. So you can get yourself right.
You get yourself right. Absolutely. Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
I don't take these moments for granted. Every time you walk off the field as a winner, it's special. And I think it just all kind of hit me there seeing Preston. Preston's guy checked on me every single day just about during my 10 days away from the squad. Appreciate his friendship and then appreciated the ovation from the crowd.
You, Aaron Rodgers.
That's one shrewd cookie right there. Playing the PR game.
Mm-hmm.
Master.
Oh, yeah.
Said he got a little misty.
A little misty.
Oh, choked up. Coming off the field. Choked up.
Yeah.
Those wonderful Green Bay fans.
Yeah.
All right, so first time ever Russell Wilson has been shut out. So clearly feeling the effects after his long layoff. Aaron Rodgers, his 10-day layoff, no practice time, saw some of the effects there. So, Mark, as we turn our... I was paying extra attention to that game yesterday, seeing as how it was Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. Odds that both or at least one of these two guys will be available in trade this offseason.
Odds?
Odds. Odds that both of them are available.
Oh, slim.
Slim?
25%.
Okay. Odds that one of them are available.
More 50-50.
And who?
More Rodgers than...
Still think Rodgers will be the one that's available.
Yeah.
Then Russ.
Yeah.
Things have improved there in Seattle land?
I don't know that they've improved. As a franchise, they haven't at least delved into the potential of life without, where Green Bay has. Now, life without could be very painful. It could be the Mongolian desert.
That wind blowing in off the Mongolian desert.
Cold.
Biting.
Biting wind.
Angus Khan win.
Yeah.
That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL, bringing it to you each and every morning at 7:30. Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, joins us. Okay, the bye is here. If ever there is a window of opportunity to make changes, here it is. Will they? That's next. Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. Troy Rank is our Denver 7 Broncos insider. He's presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. He's a big deal. I tried to chat with him briefly after the game ended. He's like, hey, Mike, would love to talk to you, but I got to go do TV. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
I've got TV stuff to do. Yeah.
Well, all right.
That's what happens when you're a big time star.
I know. And me, just radio guy, shuffled off downstairs.
You know how many times you call me during the week when I'm covering a game and I just don't even answer?
No.
Who is this?
Yeah.
Like, who is this? Mike Evans. I'll have to let that go to voicemail.
Hey, Troy, how you doing?
Mikey, how are you? Sorry about that yesterday.
No,
they don't wait. They don't wait.
TV doesn't wait.
To go on live.
Nope, I understand. Actually, all I wanted to know is, were you going down to the field that way or the other way? I didn't know which way to go, so I was going to follow you. But is there any way you can defend what Teddy Bridgewater did yesterday?
I mean, you could under the guise of injury. He's had a concussion. He's had catastrophic injuries. Quarterbacks sometimes don't attempt to make tackles. But given the context of the game, the situation, that if you tackle him there or slow him down, you still have a realistic chance of winning. It is indefensible. And I don't think he realized when he was trying to articulate it to us yesterday just how badly it looked. you know, sometimes quarterbacks give, you know, less than max effort on those plays, but it kind of looks like they're trying. Teddy, it just didn't, the optics of it were horrible. And again, that was the play of the game. I'm not saying they would have won. I seriously doubt that for a team that was 1-for-11 on third down conversions, gave up 214 yards rushing. It was just awful in the red zone, but the optics of it are bad. And in that sense, it's indefensible. I was told he was trying to move it inside. He thought Gordon would then get the tackle. Gordon got hit. But it really doesn't matter. The optics of it are telling, and he's going to have to overcome that with the fans as he moves forward, and it's going to be difficult.
The Broncos, 7 double-digit losses in the last 2 seasons in 13 games at home, Troy, at home. Is it time to pull the plug on Vic Fangio?
They won't right now, 5-5, because they're still in it. You know, George Payton has made it very clear, Mark, that part of the reason he took the job was Vic Fangio. He's given this coaching staff kind of every chance to succeed this season. You could argue they should have taken a quarterback or traded for someone differently than Bridgewater, but Bridgewater isn't the reason they're terrible at times. I mean, he's 5-5 with 14 touchdowns and 5 picks. This is pretty much who Teddy is. But no, to answer your question, it's just confounding that they're 4-9 under Fangio in their last 13 home games. And if he does not survive after the season, and anything short of a playoff berth for me, I don't know how he would, then it'll go right back to that. Not only are you losing at home consistently, but you're getting blown out in those games. And that's what's just driving Broncos country crazy. And especially the fact that this blowout and faceplant comes after their best game in arguably 5 years. And it's just hard to figure how they can't handle just a morsel of prosperity to turn around with your best game and follow it with arguably your worst performance. So, no, they're not, Mark. But, again, the next 7 games will make it very crystal clear on what his future is. And if they don't play, you know, much better at home down the stretch, I don't know how, you know, they will be able to continue moving forward with this coaching staff. Because it felt like playoff or bust entering the season. It really did. And they still have that chance, but not playing like this.
Visiting with a Troy Rank. So, while the Bridgewater tap out maybe speaks to a larger overall issue that maybe helps define what this team is right now, it wasn't the reason they lost the game. For you, why was this defense that looked so good against Dallas to the point where Vic Fangio was taking bows for his performance against the Cowboys? Why did it look so inept against Jalen Hurts and the Eagles?
Yeah, not unlike Lamar Jackson. Vic Fangio's defense has solved a lot of things against teams that pass and are unique in the passing game. He has not figured out, for him, how to defense a team with a dual-threat quarterback. Lamar Jackson just absolutely riddled them. And Jalen Hurts, they had no answer for. No answer for. And it's like in baseball when you get caught in between. You're looking curveball, you get a fastball. You're looking fastball, you get a curve. They just constantly seem reactive against these dual threat quarterbacks. They gave up 214 yards rushing. Now the Eagles the last 4 weeks have rushed for like 190 yards on the ground, and it was a concern entering the game, but not to this point. And you then stop one or the other. If you can't stop the run, then you still got crushed in the passing game by Devontae Smith. It's just that, but that's really the answer, is for whatever reason, personnel scheme, and you can look at the film. Some of it is personnel, but they cannot deal well with dual threat quarterbacks. And Jalen Hurts had his way with them yesterday, and they were 5-for-8 on their first 8 third downs. I mean, they scored 20 points in the first half. That's the most the Broncos have given up in a first half all year. And remember this. Why do I say that? The Broncos are 1-20 under Fangio when they trail at halftime. They're not built to come back. They're just not. So when they trail at half, yeah, it matters. And they were down, and the crowd was out of the game. It was the worst case scenario.
Troy, you know, you look at kind of where we are right now. Draymond Jones comes out after the game, and I think the quote was, what was it, Mike? It was combination of lack of execution and coaching. Like, when your players are saying, hey, man, it's coaching on top of that, like, at that point, isn't it time? I know you said they're not going to pull the plug, but the writing's on the wall. Like, it just is. It's bad. That's as bad as it gets.
Yeah, and I asked about that because Draymond, he's pretty candid, typically not like that in criticism of his own team. again, this is, I'm just going to relay you what I was told, that Fangio had just addressed the team and said, we lost because of coaching and players. It's all of us together. And he was repeating that. It didn't come across that way. It came across like, we're, you know, we didn't play well and it was coaching too. And it didn't sound that way, but I was told he was repeating what Fangio had said in the locker room right after the game that, you know, the old, we got to play better. We got to coach better. Regardless, it's something to monitor because when you get to this point in the season, you know, Mark, the players start to lose trust. They start to, you know, mute the coaching staff. It can get ugly fast and they still have everything in front of them, but they just can't be trusted. I mean, it really comes down to that. They cannot be trusted. They're hard to predict. Every time we write them off, they have a game like Dallas, and every time you think, okay, they finally turned the corner, everything's in front of them, and then not only do they lose, but they faceplant. So, again, this next 7 weeks, well, it'll all crystallize. There's not going to be a mystery one way or the other, and unless they play way more consistently than they have the first 10 weeks, there will be change. I mean, that's just the reality of the NFL.
All right, Troy, great stuff, as always. Thank you. We'll talk to you later in the week.
See ya.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos Insider, presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Got a chance now to kind of unwind, get a lot of reaction from you on this Bronco Reaction Monday. Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. And should, I guess the question that I'd like to throw out and get reaction to is, should Teddy Bridgewater and what he did on that play, should that be the biggest takeaway from this game?
No, but it's the easiest thing to see. You all right? You got a little choked up there?
I'm like Aaron Rodgers. I'm feeling a little misty right now.
You need a...
Broncos make me this way.
They
make
ready,
me choked up.
I was ready to leap to action to give you the Heimlich. Although you're not eating anything, so I don't know what you'd be choking on. Your emotions.
My emotions.
Is there a Heimlich emotion Heimlich thing?
Yeah. I'm ready to choke up some emotion.
Just me coming over there and giving you a big Papa Bear hug.
That would probably result in a broken rib.
No, you're not the Huff. And you wouldn't be. You would go directly to urgent care.
No, you're right.
What were we talking about?
What are we talking about?
We need one of these.
Top of that.
Yeah.
Sure you are. I want to dedicate it. Everybody hate it. Should be a big
Do you remember?
Should Bridgewater's tap out?
It's the easiest thing to see.
The easiest, but should it be the biggest takeaway? It's not the reason they lost the game.
Mike, I suppose it should be simply because it's a statement on the way the Broncos play.
It's a bigger picture takeaway.
Right. It's one of those things you can say, hey, here are all the problems, and you can list them, and you go, what does the face of that look like? Oh, here it is. It's simple. You know, it's very much like when we watch games and stuff, athleticism is easy to see. It's easy to see. It's the dirty work oftentimes that doesn't get noticed, but the stuff that gets noticed by coaches, by people who study film, you know, it's the, hey, the guy had a huge effect on the game, but he didn't put any stats up. And so people don't realize he had a great game, even though he didn't register anything in the statistical category. Like, this is one where, hey, you couldn't stop the run. You looked ill prepared. You sent Howard back to the NFL prominence off the practice squad from a few weeks ago. You couldn't get off the field on third downs. I mean, You gave up pressures, only one sack, but you gave up constant pressure on your quarterback. You fell back into a rhythm where you only had 17 carries between your two probably best offensive players. There's things that are the, you know, little pieces, microcosms of a bigger problem, a bigger picture. But Teddy Bridgewater, now becomes the face of that big picture. You guys don't show up. And that's an easy one to put a face on it.
This is KKFN and KKFN, HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.